responsive reading is a psalm reading, Psalm 80, found on page 801. And together we will do our psalm reading. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth in the presence of Ephraim and the Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let us face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the beer of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. You say, God is seed. Whoops. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Why then have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? And all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Regard for this vine. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance.
And let your hand be upon those in your right hand, the ones whom you have made strong for yourself.
Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
The Old Testament reading today is Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 through 10. Can be found in your pew Bible on 623. Please follow along. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Thus ends the reading of the Scripture. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson is from the book of James, chapter 5, 7 to 11. Found on page 217 in the New Testament. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew. Matthew 11, 2 through 11, found on page 10 and 11 in the New Testament. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The American Heritage Dictionary defines joy as: 1. A condition or feeling of high pleasure or delight, such as happiness, gladness. 2. The expression or the manifestation of such feeling. 3. A source or object of pleasure or satisfaction. Is this how you define your joy? Do you define your joy by having a job, a house, a car, a spouse, money, friends, family, having all your expectations fulfilled? Or do you define your joy as, "The love of the Lord is my strength and joy"? Or do you define your joy somewhere between the two? "I love you, Lord, but I need fill the blank." When I first looked at the lectionary this week, after Will asked me to preach, I found joy in all the readings. Isaiah talked about the coming, the future prophecy of the coming joy. James, in his time and the people he was addressing, they already had seen the coming joy, and he was expressing to them that waiting on the Lord is a joyful thing. In the Matthew reading, we have John the Baptist sitting in prison. He's having a crisis of faith. He's going out and he's saying, is it true? Is it you? Are you the one that prophecy spoke about? And then, of course, all the proof that was going on that was reported back to John. I imagine he received great joy from that. So, you know, the Spirit kind of came on to me, and I kind of departed from the lectionary a little bit today. It moved me to Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to think of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is fruit, all one type. Think of it as a bunch of grapes. It's all one fruit, but we got all these parts to make up this bunch of grapes. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I thought about these nine parts and how they work together, how they fed off each other. And I kind of started playing with them a little bit, and I started looking at them from a world's point of view and from the Lord's point of view. You know, and the world point of view is, you know, get what you can, do what you can, achieve what you can, collect what you can, all for the glory of yourself. So looking at these nine parts from the world's point of view, love of the world, of your flesh, being self-centered, that is your love, leads to a fleeting or no joy. And no joy leads to no peace. And without peace, patience becomes non-existent. And when you're not a patient person, there is no kindness. No kindness leads to a lack of goodness. Lack of goodness to a diminished faithfulness. And without faith, gentleness and self-control are not going to happen. However, if you find your joy by the love of the Lord, by believing and embracing the great things He has done, is doing, and will do, then a lasting peace comes. Great joy produces amazing peace. An internal peace that shows externally. With peace comes patience. Patience leads to kindness. Kindness leads to goodness. Goodness to faithfulness. And faithfulness produces gentleness and self-control. So, do you love the Lord completely? To be honest with you, who does? And can we, while we live in this temporal existence, can we truly love the Lord completely? Well, that kind of moved me to John 21. And there's a story there. It's a story after Jesus has been crucified. He's been resurrected from the dead. And it's a story about Peter. And Peter is doing the thing that brings him joy. He's going fishing. He was a fisherman before this all started. And by God, since it's over with, I'm going to be a fisherman again. That brings me great joy. So there's a story about the fishing part. It comes full circle. It started with fishing and Jesus and the disciples. And here it is at the end. And the disciples are fishing again. Jump ahead a little bit. And we're having breakfast on the beach, and Jesus is preparing the breakfast. And Jesus turns to Peter. And he says to Peter, "Do you super love me?" And Peter goes, "I really like you, Lord." And Peter says again, "Do you super love me?" "Lord, I really, really like you." And then Jesus goes, in Peter's words, "Peter, do you really, really like me?" And this kind of slaps Peter in the face. And, you know, and he's like, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." And that should give us great comfort. Here's a disciple, a future apostle of the church, who at that point of time completely doesn't love the Lord. He really, really likes him, but he doesn't completely super love the Lord. And then Jesus turns to him, explains to how he would suffer and die for his name's sake, and says, "Peter, follow me." And Peter says, "Okay." The Lord has blessed us with so many joys and blessings in our life. And this world system is hammering at us. And it's easy for us to be the third option. "I love you, Lord, but..." And while we're going through life, we're hanging on. We're hanging on to all this stuff, all this materialism, all this consumerism. We're thinking that's going to bring us joy. It's a fleeting joy. It brings no joy. But yet, we're hanging on. We're hanging on to this. And God is saying, "I have blessed you. Let go and let God. And the blessings will flow." For the love of the Lord is our joy. Amen.